The United States will stand with the people of India as they confront threats to their sovereignty and to their liberty.
The United States strengthens ties in South Asia. It's Monday, November 2nd. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. You'll find us online on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, elections near, tensions rise. Driving through Halloween. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Analysts say U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo's announcement of a landmark security agreement with India marks another step toward building closer ties to South Asia and countering China's influence in the region. VOA diplomatic correspondent Cindy Sain has more on Pompeo's recent trip to India, Sri Lanka, Maldives, and Indonesia.
During his South Asia tour, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo announced the opening of a U.S. embassy in the Indian Ocean archipelago nation of Maldives. As on every stop, Pompeo pushed back against what the U.S. views as China's economic exploitation and military aggression in the Indo-Pacific region.
This is about security in the Maldives and other island nations I've been to, like Micronesia and Sri Lanka, have taken on new importance as the Chinese Communist Party continues its lawless and threatening behavior.
In India, Pompeo and Defense Secretary Esper signed landmark security and military agreements. Amid an ongoing border dispute between India and China, Pompeo described the threat from Beijing in stark terms.
The United States will stand with the people of India as they confront threats to their sovereignty and to their liberty.
Analysts say Pompeo visited countries that have received major infrastructure assistance from China, but are now realizing that money came with strings attached.
These countries are also increasingly concerned about China's investments, concerned about financing aspects, debt trap diplomacy, and all that. So I think that for Pompeo, he sees an opportunity to try to capitalize on growing concern about China from within these countries.
Even before Pompeo landed in Sri Lanka, China warned the U.S. not to bully Colombo, which has received huge investment from Beijing. State Department spokesperson Morgan Ortegas responded in a VOA interview.
That's kind of fresh coming from a country that spends their time bullying other countries, whether it's in the South China Sea, or whether it relates to breaking their promises in Hong Kong or Taiwan. You know, this is a country that is used to beating their chest and getting their way in the international community.
Ortega said that at each stop in South Asia, Pompeo has stressed shared democratic values. Cindy Sain, VOA News, Washington.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo's visit to South Asia covered a lot of ground and a lot of topics. You can find more on our top story by following us on Twitter at VOA Asia. You can also stop by our Facebook page at VOA Asia. This and many other stories can be found on our website at voanews.com. We invite you to stop by all of them. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. Super typhoon kills at least 10 in Philippines. Hong Kong opposition politicians arrested over legislature protest. Former Thai prime minister sees merit in protesters' demands. Sister of missing Thai activist headed to Cambodia. Vietnam gets boost from Western allies in its defense against China. Expanded coverage of all these stories and so much more are found daily on our Facebook page at VOA Asia. Also stop by our website. That's voanews.com. This is VOA Asia. We continue. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. The United Nations Human Rights Office warns Myanmar's discriminatory citizenship and electoral laws cast doubt on the fairness of next week's general elections, putting the country's professed transition to democracy at risk. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
The Office of the High Commissioner for Human Rights says new rules and regulations put in place ahead of Myanmar's November 8th general elections create further restrictions on people's right to participate in this political process. Those most affected are the Rohingya Muslim and ethnic Rakhine population in Rakhine State. UN Human Rights spokeswoman Ravina Shamdasani tells VOA decisions announced in mid-October by the UN Election Commission have significantly disenfranchised these minority groups.
So even where they would have otherwise been able to vote, elections aren't taking place in many of these townships. So as I said, elections will not be taking place in 56 townships across the country. And of these, 9 of the townships in Rakhine, in their entirety, cannot vote.
In April, the government enacted a presidential directive denouncing public hate speech. Despite this, the UN agency says there has been an unrelenting proliferation in Myanmar of such speech against Muslims on Facebook. The Human Rights Office criticizes continuing restrictions of the freedoms of opinion, expression, and access to information. It notes an internet shutdown remains in place in 8 townships in Rakhine and Chin states, severely limiting the ability of residents to exchange information. Shamdasani says the government has been using the worsening COVID-19 situation in the country to issue stay-at-home orders in certain areas.
And in the context of these orders as well, for example, journalists have been classed as non-essential, which means that really hampers their ability to be able to go out there and cover the elections and cover the campaigning on the hate speech and the disenfranchisement and all that we've described here. Which is all very worrying.
The UN agency is calling on Myanmar to denounce hate speech and to promote tolerance and non-discrimination in speech by public officials and candidates. It urges the government to take measures to guarantee the right of political participation. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
You may have heard about another election that is coming up. That's the U.S. presidential election, which now is tomorrow. Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden is leading President Donald Trump nationally in polls, but only by a razor-thin margin in some key states. White House correspondent Patsy Whitaker-Suara has the latest on both campaigns and the millions of votes already cast.
More than 82 million Americans cast their ballots by Friday. In person, by mail or Dropbox, even from their vehicle.
Everybody keeps saying, go and just vote early. It's also just like, let's just make sure we get it done today.
Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden has sought to frame the election as a referendum of President Donald Trump's pandemic response.
I'm not running on the false promise of being able to end this pandemic by flipping a switch. But what I can promise you is this. We will start on day one doing the right things.
Trump, meanwhile, is campaigning in part on the promise of prosperity, highlighting recent economic data.
Do you see the number today? 33.1 GDP, the biggest in the history of our country by almost triple, right? Almost triple.
Which brings the GDP to 3.5% below pre-pandemic levels. As protests over police violence continue to rock the United States, Biden blames the president for stoking racial divisions. Trump says he alone can return law and order, accusing his opponent of standing with anarchists and of having a socialist agenda that he says will ruin the U.S.
The Biden closing argument is exactly what his opening argument was, that it's time to unite the country and give it a fresh start. The Trump campaign's closing argument appears to be that Joe Biden and the Democrats will destroy your life. That's a tougher sell.
Former Vice President Biden on Friday maintained a 7% lead in national polls, but U.S. elections are not determined by the popular vote, and instead by electoral votes from each state based on its population. It's a winner-takes-all system in all 50 states except Maine and Nebraska. A candidate needs 270 out of 538 electoral votes to win. Trump is hoping to repeat his 2016 victory by securing electoral college votes in critical battleground states where polls show Biden is ahead by only a slim margin.
Trump is not losing as badly in some of these swing states in the Midwest as he is nationally. But it's just a question about whether the national mood is going to be far enough apart between those vital swing states in the Midwest to really make the difference.
And which states are must-wins for Trump to stay in the White House?
Pennsylvania is going to be the key state to watch on election night. Other states to watch would include Florida. If the president kind of does not look very strong there or even loses in Florida, then it's very hard to see a clear path to victory for him.
Patsy Vida Kuswara, VOA News.
We hope you at least found some fun ways to celebrate this year's Halloween, even though the coronavirus pandemic has prevented large gatherings as well as the age-old tradition in the United States of trick-or-treating. One group in Los Angeles tried to bring some cheer by creating a drive-through Halloween event for children who could still socially distance but enjoy a few scares and get some treats. We hear more from Ginia DeLue.
The threat of COVID-19 infection is limiting most gatherings, from large holiday celebrations to small birthday parties. So what happens when your child's birthday falls on October 31st, better known as Halloween? Well, if Dad is the CEO of Experiential Supply, the company that creates large-scale immersive experiences for big Hollywood movies, you get Hauntoween LA, a several city blocks long drive-through event.
Happy Hauntoween!
The scary sights and sounds are bringing socially distant joy to Los Angeles residents.
It's been so sad because we haven't been able to do anything for Halloween. So when we saw this was here, we were so excited to come.
We're not being able to go trick-or-treating or seeing our friends. So like this is a really good like escape and way to get into the Halloween spirit.
Employing all coronavirus precautions such as masks, social distancing, and sanitized pumpkins, the experience takes visitors through a jack-o'-lantern tunnel, a giant pumpkin patch, trick-or-treating lane in the town of Hauntoween, inhabited by various scary characters.
It gets crazy after dark. Gotta watch out for the witches!
The main challenge, according to the creators, was the size of the drive-through event.
We're literally at 30,000 pumpkins or more, probably about 7,000 stacks of hay, or haystacks, or hay bales. It's just the amount of space that we've been able to cover. And we wanted to make sure that it wasn't just a quick drive-through, that literally people got to have an experience.
Interest in drive-throughs, an essential part of California lifestyle for decades, had been waning. But with limits to crowd sizes brought on by the coronavirus pandemic, business is booming again.
They've had drive-through wedding chapels, drive-through, of course, drive-in movie theaters, which are back now very strong. There's movie drive-in movies everywhere.
A conservation group offered another Halloween drive-through experience, a self-guided tour of five storybook-style houses in the city.
Storybook architecture is meant to kind of inspire this fantasy of the past and this fantasy of the magical creatures that are living inside, whether it's sort of hobbits or witches or warlocks or goblins. And all the houses on this trail have that kind of fantastical, whimsical quality.
Despite the pandemic, inventive minds have conjured a Halloween season for Los Angeles residents. Jenya Dulo for VOA News, Los Angeles, California.
That's our program for today. We thank you for joining us on VOA Asia, and you may continue online. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, all great places to follow us at VOA Asia. And of course, VOA will have complete election coverage. We'll have all the results as soon as they're available, so be sure to follow us at VOA Asia. We thank our managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, and Keith Lane. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a great day ahead. Be safe. Be well.